Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I'm going to try something a little bit newer. I'm going to try, basically going to run down 10 trades, the 10 top most recent trades on the Analytics of Dynasty trade database. So just run down, get an idea of, just peruse, just see what's out there, and use the use this as an idea to maybe kick the tires on some different constructions, some different player sell ideas. Not even searching for anyone, just looking at the ticker and seeing what's there. So I'll just run down these quick here. Anthony McFarland for Darrell Henderson, basically a swap of two backup running back types. Give me Henderson by a large margin. Got a really inside track on a running back two type scenario. It's probably been better than people have given him credit for, and it's a really high powered offense. McFarland in a clustered, congested, clunky situation that I'm not super enthusiastic about picking the right guy in that backfield. Give me Henderson. All right. Naheem Hines for Adrian Peterson and a 2020 second. I'm assuming that that's a roster filler in terms of Adrian Peterson. I can't imagine he's drawn much value in the trade market for trades at this point, considering he's not even rostered. It's more of Naheem Hines for a future second. Given the construct of Indianapolis' offense, not really a huge fan of Hines. Carson Wentz doesn't really target the running back particularly well, so that's something that I'm probably just going to avoid. Give me the future pick. Let's stay flexible and have some optionality going forward. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Hunter Renfrow, CJ Uzama for Jamal Williams and Carlos Hyde. This is one I really like in terms of, let's package a couple of things together. I don't really see a whole ton of value out of CJ Uzama or Hunter Renfrow. Marquez Valdes-Scantling's interesting, but not in a super high volume type of perspective. He's, you know, there with Alan Lazard, and you know, what's that really going to look like? Ultimately, they got Amari Rodgers. Two clear guys that have potential roles. Carlos Hyde, probably not so much a one injury away guy. It's more blocked because ETN. We'll see there, you know, what their messaging is. I do think he's interesting and relevant. But Jamal Williams, to me, clearly the most impactful player in this deal. Injury away guy in Detroit, two-way ability, can do a lot of things well, including be an injury away guy behind DeAndre Swift in an offense that wants to run. It's going to need to involve the running back in the passing game because there's not much options there. Give me the Williams side. All right, next one. Ryan Fitzpatrick for Damian Harris. This is in Superflex. This is a really interesting one. I can see either side of this. I really like Ryan Fitzpatrick as a potential quarterback two this year. Damian Harris, if things break right, I think he could be a running back two this year. I think ultimately how you sort of factor these in, maybe a little bit on team construct. I think overall, I'd probably take the guy that's most likely to make the biggest difference, probably Ryan Fitzpatrick. I could see going either way on this. It's interesting, probably a need for a need type situation. And if you're selling Fitzpatrick, this might have been a short sell, especially to someone in need. So if you were trying to fill a quarterback hole, maybe got Deshaun Watson, trying to figure out quarterback 2-3 insurance type situation, Damian Harris, not an expensive price to pay. And heck, you could be, you know, I'd take the over on 16.5 future starts for Ryan Fitzpatrick. All right, so 406 and 115. I think this is a two copy league for future third, basically package picks this year to basically move up around next year. I really like that. This is a two tight end league as well, so you get a shot on future, you know, a future falling asset. Hey, maybe that's in a better class that could be a day two tight end, something like that. I really like that trade. Kick the can on this year, stay flexible on the back end of your roster, and do that going forward. Really like that deal, getting the future third. And I really, really like to be ahead on picks because it gives you flexibility. And one of the things I'm sort of working on this year, and I'll detail a little bit more going forward, this my Supermax quarterback strategy. I think that there's probably like one a year that becomes readily available. I think we want to figure out ways to have optionality on our rosters to target them, right? Rodgers before last year, Watson right now, you know, Dak Prescott when he was hurt. Those types of situations are readily apparent. And having more assets to fire at them to really fix long-term, playing the long game on people. I think that's the type of trade where you're preparing to have that flexibility when the next quarterback, the next Supermax quarterback presents itself. 111 for 203 and a future second. This is a deal where I was sort of in this situation to try and move up for Sermon. I don't like paying this cost. I'm sort of using Sermon as a proxy in this. I don't like paying this cost because it sort of hurts on your cash out of Trey Sermon. If you ultimately get back a second, right? If you can't get back a first, you don't really like what you're seeing, you get back a second, you're not really making a profit. So that's not really the way that I like to try and get up for a guy that I think ultimately can be a bigger time flip guy. Plus, if you want to go like second to first, you're without that second. So that's part of the problem. I don't like this. Use that. Use something else in the form of that second to get up there. I know that it's hard to do this year. I get that that's probably it. Maybe that's Mac Jones. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's not Sermon. I would hate to do that for a wide receiver, but maybe that's Mac Jones. That's very, very possible in Superflex that 111 could potentially be a quarterback. So I understand the premise of it, especially if it's going up for someone like Sermon. I don't really love the idea of paying the future second because it hurts your cash out opportunity. And again, I like having flexible options here going forward. Bryan Edwards and a future first for Keenan Allen. This is just a mop the floor type scenario for Allen. Bryan Edwards doesn't really carry much cachet for me. Allen is a bona fide wide receiver one. He's probably undervalued at this point. Again, I hate giving future picks, but give me, if I'm going to give a future pick, give me it for a guy that can really make a difference here going forward. And to me, that is Keenan Allen. Another one here. This is kind of the fun of just walking down the ticker. You get some weird ones. Jalen Guyton, Donald Parham, and Drew Sample for 311 and 402. Not really much to say about that. It's kind of junk for junk a little bit. So be interesting to see if maybe there's a running back target or two in that 311, 402 range. That is super flex. 306 and 409 for 303. So that's a standard classic operating procedure. Just slide up in a rookie draft to get someone falling. So good on that. It's good process in terms of, you know, taking those two assets and moving up. And then Jordan Love for a future first, 2022 first. That's interesting. It's basically a straight kind of cash out, kick the can. I don't hate it. I think Rodgers is ultimately going to be back there. I think they'll probably sign him long term, get it figured out. But you know, this is essentially treating him as an insulated asset right now in the real near term. Kick the can, take the pick in the future. Again, I like that. You don't have to be beholden to someone wanting Jordan Love in a deal. You have the future pick. That's always much more flexible. And then you sort of can package it, use it as you will. So I like that aspect. Again, I think it could that go wrong? Yeah, I think it could go wrong. But I think the most likely outcome is that the 2022 pick is the thing that you'll look back 6 months, a year from now, and say, yeah, I'm glad I have it over Jordan Love. So those are the top 10 on the board at present. A couple of other ones here I'll just point you towards as I sort of go down the board just a little bit more, a couple of extra ones. Kenny Galladay for a future first, a 2022 first. I actually don't hate that idea. I question how much ceiling Kenny Galladay truly has. I'm spooked a little bit by Detroit just letting him walk out the door and taking a comp pick for him. That spooked me a little bit. So I think there might be something there with the injuries. I'm a little concerned by that one. I get a future pick. Listen, if I need wide receiver, I can adjust it with the pick. We just saw that pick can get you Keenan Allen. I'd much rather go with Keenan Allen than Kenny Galladay. So give me the pick on that. One other one here, Baker Mayfield for 109. That's interesting because you're probably going like Mac Jones in that range would sort of be my thought. You're basically resetting the clock. It's interesting. I question the upside of Baker ultimately. I've been doing a little work on the Cleveland Browns. I question the upside of him. Just from a volume perspective, from a truly efficiency perspective, all that stuff, could he really be a big-time difference maker? I'm not sure he has that in his range of outcomes right now. And then you sort of look at it and you say, all right, what's Mac Jones? It's a fresh asset. You know, could he ascend? All those things. That's kind of how I look at this deal. If it's ETN, something like that, it's a, I think, a better pivot. But yeah, it's basically, I sort of view this one as a cash out from Mayfield to Jones. I don't hate the idea, even though Baker's got the more enhanced pedigree. I think there's probably a wider range of outcomes on Mac Jones than Baker at this point. So that'll do it for this quick rundown. I thought it'd be an interesting new type of topic to look at, just in terms of scratching itch, getting some ideas on some trades. One of the things that happens with me sometimes, I get sort of laser locked on what I'm doing in terms of trades, or just, you know, honing in on some trade strategies, where in reality I have more tools in my toolbox, and sometimes I just don't think of them. And so sort of doing this exercise, I think, helps to kick the tires, keep us sharp in terms of thinking about different ways to look at trades, different constructs. And I was in some leagues where people did some really different things to try and get future assets, you know, package a second this year and a second next year for a first next year. So that was really interesting in terms of that's not typically how it would work. So that was really interesting in terms of thinking about some of those things. So it got me thinking about, hey, what else is out there? Let's just get some different ideas. So I might make this a more regular topic. Let me know what you think. And that'll pretty much do it. You can, again, find all of these analyticsdynasty.com/AOD trade finder is your hyperlink. analyticsdynasty.com/AOD-trade-finder. So can maybe look to make that a little bit cleaner for you guys. I didn't realize how complicated that was. So yeah, but you can go find it. It's in the AOD applications at the top of the page. Go ahead, take a look at that, and you can search. I like to just check the ticker every morning and just see what's going on. And so I'll do this a little bit more, see if we can get some trades, just do a top 10 rundown. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.